Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 2nd, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page, Children's Museum of Illinois, coursework. And there are photos here. Mueller Company employees set up Saturday's annual Duck Derby. And the top photo shows Kevin Mathias and Justin Handy of Mueller Company test the setup of the annual Duck Derby at the Children's Museum of Illinois in Decatur on Thursday, May 1st. The Duck Derby will be Saturday, May 3rd from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And that picture shows this intricate, elaborate set of stairs and a scaffolding and a big tube or a slide, and a bucket that fills with water, it looks like, and then tips over and pours down the slide. And then the second photo shows Kevin Mathias of Mueller Company testing the water part of the Duck Derby track. And that's a big barrel, a plastic barrel with Mueller printed on it, and that's the water barrel that's tipping over and coming down the slide. And then there's a smaller picture of Justin Handy of Mueller Company connecting the water to set up the annual Duck Derby. It's fun to be part of it, said Handy. Also on the front page, state government protection bill includes carve-out for ethanol plant. Legislation would ban carbon sequestration in Mahomet Aquifer, Springfield. A bill that would ban carbon sequestration activity over a massive source of drinking water for central Illinois includes a carve-out that would allow a Gibson City ethanol plant, pending U.S. EPA approval, to move forward with plans for 3 carbon injection wells. Senate Bill 1723 overwhelmingly passed the state Senate last month and cleared a House committee earlier this week. It is one affirmative vote in the Illinois House away from hitting Governor J.B. Pritzker's desk. The legislation would ban sequestration, the process of capturing and storing carbon, by injecting it underground, within an area that overlies, underlies, or passes through the Mahomet Aquifer. The aquifer, a deep underground layer of sand and gravel, underlies 15 counties and is the main source of drinking water for more than 500,000 people in central Illinois, including Normal, Champaign, and Urbana. But an amendment added to the Senate changed the boundaries of the ban area, making it apply only to the area designated by the U.S. EPA as the sole source of aquifer area. The original bill protected the slightly larger project review area, which includes what are believed to be recharge zones that supply water to the aquifer. During testimony in the House Energy and Environment Committee on Tuesday, State Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat of Urbana, the bill's sponsor, confirmed that the amendment was to accommodate One Earth, which is seeking to establish a 7-mile carbon sequestration pipeline from its ethanol plant in Gibson City to storage wells in rural McLean County. The proposed storage sites are on the edge of a recharge zone. We wanted to accommodate that as much as we can and still overwhelmingly protect the larger portion of the aquifer, Ammons said. That's what the amendment does. The amendment removed opposition from organized labor, including the Illinois AFL-CIO and Illinois Pipe Traders Association, the Illinois Renewable Fuels Association, and Illinois Manufacturers Association remain opposed. The change would effectively exclude Bloomington Normal, eastern portions of McLean County and parts of Ford County from the protected area. My organization would love to also protect the recharge area, but we understand that this is the deal that was struck, and we think that it's important to protect the majority of the aquifer, said Andrew Wren, policy director at the Prairie Rivers Network. The bill advanced out of the committee 20-5. All Democrats voted yes while Republicans were split. In a statement, One Earth Energy CEO Steve Kelly said the company is committed to advancing carbon capture and storage in a manner that protects natural resources and supports long-term environmental stewardship. We believe, based on established science, best industry practices, and robust regulatory oversight, that CCS can be implemented safely without endangering groundwater, Kelly said, as part of our ethanol plant's development. We have invested in a CO2 compression facility and are actively pursuing Class 6 permits to enable secure, permanent carbon storage. Said. These efforts align with the goals of SB 1723, contribute to broader climate objectives, and reflect our commitment to transparency, safety, and sustainable solutions. One Earth's application is under review by the EPA, with a final permitting decision expected in January 2026. Illinois, especially downstate, has been targeted by the nascent carbon capture and sequestration footprint of the Mahomet Aquifer due to the region's favorable geology. Lawmakers passed and Pritzker signed legislation last year that built upon and filled gaps in existing federal regulations to carbon capture and sequestration. This included key protections such as a 2-year moratorium on pipeline construction, extra permitting requirements, and safety provisions. The pipeline moratorium remains in effect up until July 1, 2026, unless the Federal Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration adopts updated pipeline safety rules before then. While studies have indicated there is a minimal risk to drinking water from sequestration activity, the lack of a clear alternative water source, if anything were to go awry, has left central Illinois lawmakers and many residents with zero risk tolerance. The legislation awaits consideration in the full House. And there's a photo here on page A4 showing a protester with a sign that says, "Hands off our water, no compromise." Signs in support of the Mahomet Aquifer were held during a press conference on Thursday, April 10, 2025, at Uptown Circle in Normal. And then there's a map here of the counties that benefit from the aquifer and counties under which the aquifer exists. And it shows the footprint of the Mahomet Aquifer is shown in this image provided by the city of Champaign. And it covers parts of Mason County, Tazewell, Lincoln, Menard County, Cass County, Clinton, Macon, Monticello, DeWitt, I'm reading towns here, as well. McLean County, DeWitt County, Champaign, Iroquois, Vermilion, and Ford County are over the Mahomet Aquifer. And then there's a smaller picture here of Representative Carol Ammons, Democrat of Urbana, overseeing her first hearing as House Energy and Environment Committee Chair in February. And another front page story, Chatham. Thousands gather for vigil honoring 4 killed in Monday crash. A sea of red filled the bleachers at Glenwood High School's football field Wednesday evening as more than 3,000 people gathered for a candlelight vigil in honor of the 4 killed in a crash this week at a Chatham child care facility. Families, students, and neighbors sat together, many wearing Ball Chatham School District red as a symbol of solidarity. The event, organized by the high school student council, aimed to remember the lives lost and offer support to the grieving community just south of Springfield. "I spent the greater part of today thinking about all the signs that say Chatham Strong and what that really means. And what it means to me," said David Kimsey, Chatham Village president, Strength is what we need in our community, and we need it in so many ways. Being strong means knowing it is okay to hurt. Being strong means knowing it is okay to grieve. Strength is knowing that it's okay to find moments of joy, even in tragedy. That it is okay to cry, yet it is still okay to smile, he said. At about 3 p.m. Monday, a black Jeep driven by Marianne Akers, 44, left the road and traveled through a field before crashing into the east side of the youth needing other things after school camp. The vehicle drove completely through the structure, striking several children and workers who were inside and outside, leaving four dead and several others injured. Ainsley Johnson, 8, Catherine Corley, 7, and Alma Bunnerkempe, 7, all of Chatham, and Riley Britton, 18, of Springfield, were all killed from blunt force trauma, according to a statement from the Sangamon County Coroner's Office. Six other children were hospitalized, one in critical condition. As of Wednesday, two had been released from hospital care. Akers was the only occupant of the vehicle. She was uninjured and transported to a local hospital for evaluation. Toxicology reports are pending. Actually, I heard that the toxicology report showed nothing. The investigation into the crash is ongoing. Illinois State Police plan to release an update on the investigation during Thursday afternoon press conference after Lee Enterprises press time. The atmosphere at Wednesday's vigil was a mix of heartbreak and hope. Young children played on the sidelines of the football field, enjoying the semi-warm spring night, while teens and adults embraced in silence, mourning the loss of four young lives and praying for those still recovering. Community leaders, including Kimsey, Ball, Chatham Superintendent Becca Lehman, Chatham Police Department Officer David Leach, and local church staff, addressed the crowd with messages of support and led them in prayer. Among those speaking to the crowd were Zachary and Christine Britton, the parents of victim Riley Britton. She, Riley Britton, loved all of you. Christine Britton said she loved the elementary kids. She loved them. Intermediate kids. She loved the high school kids. Just thank you so much for being here and doing this. Please know that we love you. The Britton family loves you, and we're just so thankful, she said. Riley Britton had grown up close with many of the Why Not children while working with the after-school program. Tuesday morning, I woke up early, didn't sleep much that night, and I picked up my Bible, and it was really heavy, Zachary Britton said. And one of the things that I got out of my reading that day is that God is good, and we don't always feel it, but God is good, and we don't understand it, but God is good, and we don't know how it's going to work out, but I know that God is good, and this community is good, and we're so thankful for that. After the Britton's family remarks, Riley's closest friends embraced her parents. To all of the high schoolers out there, Riley will be with you in a spirit at prom. She will be also with you at graduation, Leach said. Honor and remember her with your actions and with the way you treat one another. She will be smiling down on you from heaven, and she may be doing a little dancing up there, too. Leach encouraged the community to grieve in a healthy manner rather than turning to drugs or alcohol. This past Monday, after being at the scene of the accident, it was incredibly hard, Leach said. I went home and hugged my wife and my children, and I just bawled. I cried my eyes out. Tears have continued to come in waves for me every day since, and they come without warning. But that may not be what grief looks like for you. Whatever it looks like, though, I pray that you are able to get it all out in a healthy manner. The community has planned a number of events and ways to help those affected by the crash, including blood drives, meal trains, and fundraisers. A GoFundMe campaign created by the Glenwood High School Student Council has already raised more than $188,000 and continues to accept donations to help with the family's funeral, services, medical bills, and other expenses. On Tuesday, Kimsey ordered all flags in the village to be flown half-staff through Tuesday, May 6th. Where does Chatham go from here? The eyes of the world are upon us, and everyone is watching and paying attention to our community to see what we'll do. We can honor and remember the legacy of those four children who are no longer here with us. We can honor and remember them with how we live. We honor them in all we do. And we can honor and remember them in how we treat others. Their legacy will live on here forever through us, he said. And several pictures here on page A4. Top one shows members of the Chatham community raise their candles and flashlights in solidarity during a vigil at the Glenwood High School football field on Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. And it's a long shot, a wide shot, of the bleachers, with packed bleachers with people in it, all wearing red shirts and with lights, candles, or cell phone lights on, and some people standing in the field, all also in red. Then there's more of a close-up of a Chatham community member holds up a cross. It's a wooden cross on the Glenwood High School football field during a candlelight vigil on Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. And then there's an overhead view showing the scene where victims were killed when a car barreled through the building used as an after-school camp, Tuesday, April 29, 2025, in Chatham. And it's on the corner near the street from which the car left and plowed through the building, killing four. And then a smaller yet photo showing a memorial sprang up for three children and a teen who died when a Jeep crashed through the building that housed an after-school program in Chatham. And there are stuffed animals, balloons, and many flowers piled up near the where the boarded up part of the where the crash happened in the building. In more local and state news on page A3, Moquegua Eagle Scout wins national award. Honor comes as a shock to Central A&M junior James Lee Jesse. This is from Moquegua. James Lee Jesse, an Eagle Scout from Moquegua Troop 85, has been awarded the Boy Scouts Glenn A. and Melinda W. Adams National Eagle Scout Service Project of the Year Award. That was more of a shock than anything, he said shortly after receiving the news. The Central A&M High School junior was one of 16 scouts from across the country who were named as a finalist for the award. The Eagle Scout projects range from a garden terrace in Hawaii to a helicopter landing spot in North Carolina. Jesse's project was one of three programs focused on international concerns. A native of Haiti, Jesse was adopted as a young child after he was injured during an earthquake. The toddler was found with severe back trauma under a pile of rubble. His Eagle project was devoted to collecting donations from 175 personal contacts and groups. He raised more than $35,000, providing more than 10,000 meals that were shipped, or 100,000 meals, I think, that were shipped to Haiti. Jesse also organized 430 local volunteers who packed the meals. The purpose of my project was to provide meals for children, nursing mothers, and elderly in the community of Milo, Haiti, which cared for me in 2010 after the earthquake in Haiti, Jesse said. This will not solve the problems in Haiti, but it will provide a critical need. The project began with an idea Jesse had 2 years ago. However, he and his parents credit others around him for successfully completing the project. It definitely takes a lot of people to put anything like that together, his mother Mary said. It's not just us. It took a lot of volunteers from the community. An Eagle Scout is the highest rank in the Boy Scouts. The Eagle Scout Service Project is a key requirement in earning that rank. What happens next for Jesse is undecided. I'm just rolling with the flow right now, he said. I know I want to go into the food industry and work with meal plans and kids who need more nutrition, basically dietetics and starting my own business. According to David Lane, Assistant Director of Field Services, Eagle Scout service projects are reviewed and approved by the Scouts local council. The goal is not just to complete a task, but to demonstrate planning, problem solving, and the ability to rally others around a meaningful cause, Lane stated in a news release announcing Jesse's nomination. As a proud member of Scouting America, Jesse's achievement is a testament to the values of scouting leadership, community service, and global citizenship, he said. Jesse's Scoutmaster, William Vaudry, is hoping the award encourages others to join scouting. It's great for our area, he said about Jesse's award. The scout leaders encourage the members to participate in other activities, but if you like fishing, camping, and going on canoe trips, that's the stuff that we do, Vaudry said. The scouting awards are a benefit to the scout's future, according to the light leaders. If you're an Eagle Scout and join the military, as soon as you sign the paper, you automatically go up one pay grade higher, Vaudry said. And there is a small headshot of Jesse, James Lee Jesse, and then there's a larger picture, so saying the Mwekwatene, James Lee Jesse, organized a meal packaging event to give back to his home country of Haiti for his Eagle Scout project in 2024. The 16-year-old received a National Scouting Award for the project, and then he's got a T-shirt on, a red T-shirt, and hit the on the front of his, I can't read everything, but it says Holy Name. He has a hairnet on because he's packing food, and then there are bags of food and bins with lined with plastic that they're, I guess, putting food in. And then there's a person in the background whose back is turned to us, who has the same T-shirt, and it says Staff Feed Haiti Initiative, and then I can't read the smaller print. Suspect in Decatur murder gets 10 years. Tarlin R. Mackey, the Decatur man caught up in a shooting that claimed the life of a 20-year-old mother and her unborn child, has been sent to prison for 10 years. Mackey, 19, had been facing three alternate counts of murder and three alternate counts of international homicide, or excuse me, intentional homicide of an unborn child in the March 8, 2023 deaths of Janiah B. Thomas, who was 6 months pregnant, and her baby daughter. But those charges were dropped as part of a plea deal with prosecutors that also saw the dismissal of 2 counts of aggravated battery and 1 charge alleging the aggravated discharge of a firearm. Mackey appeared April 16th in Macon County Circuit Court and, as part of the plea deal, admitted instead a newly added charge of residential burglary. The charging information filed by Macon County State's Attorney Diane Curry said that the burglary offense was connected with a home in the 1000 block of East Leafland Avenue where Mackey had been before the homicides took place. The charging language said that he had entered into, remained within the dwelling place with the intent to commit therein obstruction of justice. The charge does not spell out further details of how the offense relates to the deaths, and Curry could not be reached for comment. An arrest warrant filed by the Decatur Police Department for Mackey described him as being at the Leafland Avenue house and then leaving with several accomplices who had targeted Thomas and her friends as part of a dispute with them. She had taken cover in the bedroom of a house in the 1300 block of North Woodford Street that was peppered with gunfire. Police reports would later show that Thomas had tried to protect another of her children, a then 4-year-old daughter, but the child lost an eye after being hit by the same bullet that killed her mother. The accused trigger man in the shooting, Matarian A. Anderson, 20, was found guilty April 9th of killing both Thomas and her unborn child after a bench trial. He will be sentenced May 29th and faces a maximum of 40 years. Anderson's brother, Matavius Anderson, 20, denies murder charges, and he has a pretrial hearing scheduled for June 5th. And there is a headshot picture of Mackie, Tarlin Mackie, who gets 10 years, and a larger shot of or picture of Janiya Thomas was 20 years old when she was shot and killed in Decatur on March 8th, 2023. That's mostly it for state and local news, but on page A2 on Life, there's hints from Heloise. Try this precaution for lost cell phones. Dear Heloise, people often write about lost cell phones and how they recover them. I have a message on my home screen that says, if you find this phone, please call my husband's phone number. He has the same message on his home screen that lists my phone number. This way, if someone finds our lost phone, they can call the number and reach one of us and return it. Signed, Vicky S., Chester, Virginia. Sealed jars. Dear Heloise, why do food companies make it so hard to take the seal off of food jars? They are glued tightly on all the way around the tops of jars. They often don't have much of a tab to grasp, so one has to puncture the seal with a knife. It's rarely possible to get it off cleanly. I appreciate the safety, but there has to be a solution that's easier to open and still secure. Signed, John M., a.k.a. Uncle Johnny, via email. Savings bonds. I guess there's no answer to that. Dear Heloise, here's a reminder for your readers. United States savings bonds stop gaining interest after 30 years. If you or your children have some tucked away, check their issue dates. It might be time to turn them in. Signed, John Q. via email. Athlete's foot. Dear Heloise, cracked heels that don't respond to moisturizing is frequently a symptom of athlete's foot. Signed, Steve H. via email. Steve, cracked heels can be a sign of a number of things. It's best to consult with a doctor to see what can be done if your heels never seem to heal. Signed, Heloise. Dryer sheet tips. Dear Heloise, as mentioned in your column, don't use dryer sheets to clean your dryer filter. It leaves a film on the filter, which will clog it. Also, don't use them when drying towels for the same reason. It makes them soft but coats them, the fibers, and makes them less absorbent. Signed, Jim B., a faithful reader, via email. Budgeting hint. Dear Heloise, my husband died without any life insurance, and there was only $5,000 in the bank. I was stunned but determined to make a go of things. We had been very comfortable when my husband was alive and perhaps spent too easily. However, with just my salary covering our costs, now I'm careful with every expenditure. I've decided to play a game with myself when tempted to make a purchase. I ask myself, do we really need this? How will this benefit my daughter or me? And can we get along just fine without this item? I know this might sound rather joyless, but for now it's keeping my daughter and I and me on a budget that just won't budge. It's keeping us out of debt. Signed, Megan A. in Southfield, Michigan. Meg, it sounds very practical and smart. Ever heard of every head of the household should have some life insurance if everyone else is depending on them. I'll add that every wife needs to know what the couple has in the bank, as well as investments and insurance policies. She needs any and all passcodes, and each husband and wife need to discuss their wills with each other. Secrets in a marriage have a way of ruining the trust that couples share, especially in matters of finance. Signed, Heloise. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 2nd, 2025. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.